Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a different show on, one I think that, again, is very important. These times are very chaotic. I think that people are looking for balance and for centering. And for me, God is the center of my life. So it's very easy for me to turn to God, and I find great solace in that. This is not about religion. This is about connection with God. Today we're going to speak with an author, Mr. Michael Snyder, and he's the author of 4 books, and his most recent one is called The 7-Year Apocalypse. He has a unique take on it, on the times that we're living in. He's been a frequent guest on major radio and television shows all over the nation. He has websites. He's been viewed more than 100 million times on those websites. He writes articles and republishes on dozens of other major websites. And this includes some of the biggest alternative news websites on the entire planet. He and his wife, Miranda, are deeply concerned about the direction of this country. They have a way for us to take a look at it and to get our power back, because I'm just done with people telling me how I should think, how I should react, what I look like should depend on how I respond to things and how my mind should work. And it's not about that. And Mr. Snyder, I want to thank you so much for coming on, because today's show it's going to be telling the truth. It's honest and no holds barred. And I love that kind of show. And I love the fact that you're brave and willing to speak truth to whatever power is out there. So thank you very much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me on the show today. And you know, right now, this year, we're seeing authoritarianism just really manifest itself, not just in the United States, but all over the world because of this pandemic. And governments are wanting to tell us, okay, you know, you can't go here. You have to go there. You have to wear a mask. You can't do this. Now with the shots, we're seeing mandates all over the world. We're seeing Joe Biden, and, you know, with the federal government saying, okay, federal government workers, you got to get the shot. U.S. military, you got to get the shot. And then the Biden administration actually wants to push it was telling big corporations, hey, you mandate the shot. So we've seen Facebook mandating the shot, Netflix mandating the shot, Disney mandating the shot, Walmart for some of their management employees mandating the shot. So we're seeing all this. It's very troubled times. People are alarmed. People are like, what in the world is going on? And so we're seeing our world change at a pace like we never have before, you know, not only in the government realm, but in technology. We're seeing technology explode all around us at a pace we've never seen before. We are seeing culture change at a pace we've never seen before. So our world is in a great state of change very rapidly. Meanwhile, we're seeing our planet be shaken. We just saw the huge earthquake in Haiti. Mm-hmm. We've been seeing large earthquakes, volcanic eruptions all the world. Global weather patterns are going crazy. You know, we're starting to see a lot of these major earth changes moving in that direction that people have been warning about. And there's so many things we can talk about today, but there's kind of an overarching theme that kind of ties into this book I want to talk about today. And I'm rambling, so I'll get back to you here in a second. But, you know, as people look at the world, they're becoming extremely concerned. We're even seeing the head of Google, you know, one of the co-founders of Google ran off to New Zealand because he's so concerned about the state of the world, and he's living on an isolated compound in New Zealand because, he wants to get away from everything. I mean, people are alarmed, people are concerned, people are prepping. In fact, the owner of a food storage company that was recently interviewed says his sales have, over the past few months, have increased six times higher just over the past couple months because people are becoming so alarmed about the state of the world.
Well, I'm with you with the pronouncements, but on the ground, it's not quite the same. Remember, take a step back and think about this. If the mandates were legal, the government would be doing them. They know that they can't. That's why that they're going through the corporation front door to try to do this under the color of law. I'm not noticing something interesting, even though it's mandated. When you go to a store, there's no sign telling me that, or anybody, that you have to put a mask on. So it's almost like they know that they're just paper tiger in this regard, and people are not really following it, and they're not, it may be a mandate in name only. It's kind of strange. I don't know if you've seen that, but I've been prepared to put it on, but it's not really mandated in the front door. It's weird.
Yeah, I've seen it where I live. I live in kind of a more rural location, and you go to the store and nobody has a mask on at mm-hmm. this point where I am. Although if you travel about an hour away and then you go to a more liberal area, you will still see people with masks on. So it's kind of, there's a divide between liberal and conservative in terms of mask wearing at this point, but definitely the Biden administration is trying to push things as far as they can. Mm-hmm. You know, with federal employees, they tried to push things, but then they got some pushback from the postal workers, so they didn't mandate it for postal workers. Then they try to push things with the military, you know, and then in some areas, like out in San Francisco, they're trying to push the vaccine mandate for all the employees, but now the police officers are saying, hey, we might, a whole bunch of us might resign if you try to force it
exactly.
on us. So we're seeing that we're seeing some pushback there. It's creating a lot of tension in our society, and tempers are short, and people are becoming very, very frustrated. But as we see in the official numbers, I mean, they're really pushing this narrative. And if the official numbers of this Delta variant continue to go up, mm-hmm. well, then we're going to see the politicians try to push the envelope even more. And then that's just going to cause more pushback from people like me and you, just average normal people that are sick and tired of this encroachment on our freedom and our liberty. I was particularly alarmed when they mandated it for the U.S. military. My father was in the Navy. And so now they're mandating these vaccines. And so a lot of people are going to be faced with a choice. Well, either I take this or I lose my job. Or at some of these big corporations that are mandating the vaccines, people are going to be like, well, I've spent, 10, 20 years developing this career. I either give that up or I take this shot. So a lot of people are going to be faced with some very heartbreaking choices.
Actually, I don't see it as a choice. This isn't a choice. This is your body, your temple, how God made you, versus an investigational drug that doesn't do what it says it's supposed to do. Fear cannot run everybody's life, because when people live in fear, they get taken advantage of. I mean, if no one can figure this out, that you followed this protocol, you were told if you get a shot, you can go back to life as it was, and you can go and have a good time and be amongst people. And within weeks of getting that shot, people were told, you have to put a mask on, you have to mask indoors, you can't be with other people. You may be, or more likely, are the reason that the Delta variant is spreading. I don't understand why people can't take a step back and then question the fact that they're saying, do the same thing that you did for last year, expecting a different result. It doesn't make cognitive sense to think, I'm going to lock down again, I'm going to put a mask on, and somehow it's going to be different. It doesn't make sense, does it?
Oh, I completely agree with you. And I recommend to everyone, do not take this vaccine under any circumstances. And we've already seen with the voluntary reporting systems in the United States and Europe combined, we've seen reported over 33,000 deaths. And that number is old. It's higher than that by now. Mm-hmm. And combined between the United States and Europe, over 1 million serious injuries. And studies have shown that these voluntary reporting systems only capture a small fraction of what's actually going on out there. So we're seeing a lot of people die, a lot of people seriously injured by these vaccines. And they're dangerous. And then what we're learning, of course, and I warned about this in advance, those of you that follow my articles many months ago, I said, look, any immunity conferred by any of these things is going to be extremely temporary, which we've seen, mm-hmm. and people are going to be catching it anyway. People are going to be dying anyway. And that's what we've seen. We've seen that even though people are fully vaccinated, they're catching the Delta variant, and people that are fully vaccinated, they're dying. So now they're saying, oh, you got to go get a third shot. It's crazy. In fact, Gibraltar, Iceland, where almost the entire population are vaccinated, we're seeing cases spike like crazy. So they don't have a solution. But the thing is, this is just one of the elements of the perfect storm that I warned was coming. And that's what this whole new book, 7-Year Apocalypse, that just came out, is all about. Is about this perfect storm that's coming, where, you know, Jesus warned that one of the elements that we would see in the last days are pandemics and this COVID thing. This is very low level compared to what's eventually coming. I mean, we live in a world right now where scientists are constantly monkeying around with all sorts of bugs and diseases in laboratories all over the world. And as we've seen, is way too easy for those to escape the lab and to get out and start spreading. So more could start spreading it at any moment, whether they're released by accident or on purpose. And so, and Jesus used the word pestilences to describe what was coming in the period just before his return. And so we should expect multiple, and that's what I, and in my books, I explain why we will expect more. So a lot of people think, just a couple months ago, people thought, oh, this thing's fading away, COVID will be gone, life will go back to normal. But what people need to understand, not just with pestilences and pandemics, but with all the elements of the perfect storm we're facing, life is not going to be going back to the way it was before, from my perspective, but that we really are living in the period of time that the Bible describes as the end times.
Well, let's stop there and digest that and come back. You're living in the solution. We're speaking with author Michael Snyder. His new book is The 7-Year Apocalypse. And prior to the break, we were really getting into the biblical aspect of what's going on with our society. And this is not just, as you described before the break, it's not just the United States that people are seeing an increase in morbidity and mortality associated with these vaccines. It's across the world. And, you know, if we take a step back, how this rolled out, it's every country did the same thing. The lockdown was coordinated. Now we're seeing the same rhetoric about it's the unvaccinated, quote unquote, pandemic of the unvaccinated, which is all designed to get us to look at the shiny thing, but not pay attention to what's right in front of us. And I think you're right. This is the beginning. This is like the first round, and see how far they can push people. We went into our homes without question. We removed ourselves from our jobs. We've removed ourselves from each other. And now we're in a position where they're trying to get us to fight each other and hate each other and blame each other, when from a health perspective, what they're doing, what they're choosing to do doesn't work. I mean, it won't work. And it's just designed to continue this process. And if this is the beginning of turbulent times, what else does your book describe? I mean, pandemics are a way to control, are they not?
Oh, it's very, very true. It's very, very true. And so, we're seeing this type of global coordination, and even, you know, in places like Australia, where, I mean, we're just seeing the extreme lockdowns, extreme tyranny. You know, in the old days, people would say, you know, oh, Michael, I'm thinking of moving to Australia to get away from the craziness in the United States. Mm-hmm. But now, I wouldn't recommend Australia to anybody, because they've just gone to such extreme a tyranny that even China is speaking out saying, hey, you guys are getting pretty extreme over there, you know, we're seeing this, you know, it just get Canada go completely nuts, you know, the UK go completely nuts. But it's really all over the world where they're taking advantage of people and people's instinct to, because most people, they want to do what's right for their fellow man. Mm-hmm. They want to do, if the community needs something, they want to rally together and help everyone out. And that's what a lot of this is being framed as. Oh, go get your shot and help out your community, keep everyone safe. And, you know, people have an instinct to want to do that. But, you know, but what they're pushing, you know, people don't even realize that, you know, that these new quote unquote vaccines are completely different technology from anything that they may have received in the past, which I don't recommend normal vaccines either. But, you know, these new mRNA vaccines, which hijack your cells, and then the spike proteins end up going all over your body, which we were promised that it wouldn't do, but we all knew that they would, and that it's causing inflammation, especially in the heart. Heart inflammation has become such a major problem. So, I mean, so many people are going to have their immune systems wrecked by this, their health wrecked by this. Even if they don't die, and then we're moving into very troubled times, which we're seeing an explosion of prepping again. People are wanting to get prepared. And but one thing that's kind of unspoken among a very large percentage of the prepping community is that people are prepping because, and so many of them are Christians, so many of them are believers, and they have in their back of their mind or in their front of their mind that, hey, you know, these are the times. So many people out there believe that these are the times, or that we're approaching the times that Jesus warned about, that the book of Revelation warned about, that the Bible warned about, the end times, the last days, the time just before the second coming of Jesus Christ, which the Bible spends an extraordinary amount of time talking about. And that's the focus of my new book. And I remember, you know, you go back 5 or 10 years ago, you know, of course, we had troubles then, but people would come to me and they say, Michael, do you think that the Great Tribulation is approaching? Do you think we're almost there? Do you think the events of the book of Revelation are nearly upon us? And I would say, well, I do believe that we're living in the end times, and I've been studying Bible prophecy for more than 40 years, you know, go all the way back to, you know, reading The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey when I was 10 years old, and I've been fascinated in studying it ever since. But I would tell people, and they'd come to me with a question, I would be like, no, I believe, yeah, it's approaching, but I don't believe we're there yet. I don't believe we're at that time. I believe we still have some years. I believe we still have some time. But now my answer is having to start to change. I do believe we're approaching that time. And that's really the focus of this new book.
Well, let's go to, you know, part of biblical prophecy and part of Revelation is the mark of the beast. People have read about that, and I've read about it, and I've come to the conclusion that this shot is being used in that same manner. You can't go into stores if they can mandate this. They're going to try to mandate you can't. And there's a congressman out of New York who just put in a bill. I don't know if it's how far it's gotten, but you're not allowed to fly in or out of the United States unless you've had the vaccine. There are people saying you can't go into restaurants in New York without the vaccine. You can't, it's going to become, you can't buy or sell, you can't travel, you can't enjoy the benefits of being a member of society without taking this vaccine. And is this corporate-driven mandate the beginning of that?
The stage is being set for that type of control. And, you know, in previous times, you know, this type of thing would be unimaginable to a lot of people. But now we're seeing the stage being set for what the Bible describes. And right now, you know, that, for example, San Francisco, you know, in a whole host of indoor spaces, they want to now require proof of vaccination. Like you said, a bill was just introduced in Congress. I was one of the first people to get an article out about it. In fact, people go to endoftheamericandream.com today. They can then just scroll down a little bit. You'll find that article where a bill was introduced in Congress where they want to make it a law where you will never be able to fly, not just into or out of the United States, but from any flight in the United States, even if you just want to fly, you know, within your own state, and, you know, you're not going to be able to take a flight ever again unless you get this vaccine, which is insane. But, this, you know, we're seeing things I never thought they would, you know, they've already done so many things that I didn't think they would do. I mean, it's just shocking what they're doing. But this is just and what we're going to see, because polls have found that, you know, less than 5% of Democrats say they'll never, ever get the shot. But for among Republicans and conservatives, one poll found it was close to 40%. So those that are going to be pushed to the fringes of society, those that are going to lose their jobs, be pushed to a different job, not going to be able to participate in public things, not be able to fly potentially, you know, if this law gets passed, or be excluded from so many, doing so many things in society, are overwhelmingly going to be conservatives, patriots, Christians, conservatives. And so this is alarming to me, because we're going to see potentially, you know, a huge purging from the government of those types of people like you and me, people that love liberty and freedom, purged out of the large corporations. Really, we're going to see a huge shift in the nature of societal institutions potentially very rapidly, especially if mandates become stricter and stricter and stricter. So this is, and this is part of a larger trend of wanting to push us to the fringes of society, where now we see censorship. And it's not just the government. You know, you see these large corporations, the big tech companies. Censorship has become so extreme online, and it affects people like me that want to tell the truth online. I want to publish articles with the truth, but every day I'm thinking, okay, is this going to get me censored? Will the censors allow me to say this? Will I be able to share this on social media? That is always in the back of my mind, even though censorship makes me want to vomit. But it's always there because I'm always thinking, okay, how can I get the truth out? What will they let me get away with? So that's why I'm going to be starting to move more to these books, where I'll be able to say things in the books I can't even say online anymore, mm-hmm. because they want to push our voices to the fringes of society. They want to get us off the social media platforms. They want to make it harder and harder, because for so long, the internet has given me and you and so many people the ability to communicate on a mass scale, which we've never seen before in human history, where me living in my home in the mountains in the middle of nowhere, literally I hear from people all over the planet. Just this week, I was going through my emails. I got an email from someone in Thailand. The very much next email was from someone in Australia. You know, I regularly hear from people all over the world, and the internet allowed us to do that. But now they want to take that away. They want control because they're like, wow, these people are spreading the truth. This is a threat to us. It's a threat to our agenda. So they're clamping down really hard. So we're seeing the stage set for authoritarianism. We're seeing the stage set for the mark of the beast. And of course, Christians have been anticipating this. And most people don't realize this. Christians have been anticipating and looking at our time in history for a very long time. Because if you go back, and in my book, I show it's even before the time of Jesus, but then particularly the first few centuries of the early church, I list a long list of Christian leaders. I'm talking about people like Irenaeus, people like Justin Martyr, and the list goes on from the first several centuries of the Christian movement, where they anticipated and they said, hey, you know, God has a 7,000-year plan for human history. A day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day from Adam through the end. And then they say, just like there were 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. So there'll be 6,000 years, and then the next 1,000 years will be the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ.
Mr. Snyder,
so they anticipate.
I'm gonna have to. Yeah, let's stop and take a break and pick that up. So I don't want to cut you off because we're taking our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Michael Snyder, and you can go to his blog, theeconomiccollapseblog.com, and also themostimportantnews.com. And before the break, you were laying out how the time from biblical time, God's time, is different. So 1,000 years is not the same in our mindset as it is in the big picture. So after the tribulation comes the time where Jesus comes, and then there's 1,000 years of peace and righteousness, correct?
Yeah. As I describe in my book, 7-year apocalypse, that, you know, Jesus comes back and he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. And the Bible describes this in the book of Revelation chapter 20. But just before that, there's a period of 7 years. People are familiar with the term, the Great Tribulation. People have probably heard that before. There's a period of 7 years, which I believe, and I describe in my book why, we are almost there. And I believe that the vast majority of the people living in the world today will enter the 7-year apocalypse. And I believe the vast majority of the people living in the world today will die during the 7-year apocalypse. In fact, scholars, people that have studied this, the book of Revelation, you know, estimate that way over 90% of the population of the world will die before we get to finally Jesus returns to this earth and sets up his millennial reign. But the death and destruction described in the book of Revelation and the other prophetic scriptures in the Bible, it's unimaginable. I mean, it's great, great chaos, great, uh, great judgments are coming upon this earth. But even in the midst of that, a lot of people say, well, that's bad news. But in the midst of it, God is going to be at work doing incredible things. And I believe it will be the greatest period of time for the people of God that we've ever known, the greatest move of God in all of history, the greatest harvest of souls in all of history, because as all the shakings come, there's a redemptive purpose to the shaking, and the purpose is to turn people back to God, to turn people away from their wicked ways and to realize that they need the one that created them. And so each round of shaking, I believe, will result in more people turning to God, and we'll see the greatest harvest of souls in all of human history. And we desperately need that, because God could have just picked a day and said, okay, that's it, that's the end, without any warning. And if that would have been the case, well, we see all around us today in society and all around the world, people don't want anything to do with God. They pushed away God. Their hearts are extremely hard. But as we go through this series of judgments and shakings that we're going to see, well, it's going to get people to understand and realize their need for God. But as I was saying before the break, you go back to nearly 2,000 years ago, you go back to the early church leaders. And in my book, I show quote after quote after quote from early church leaders that say, hey, God has this 7,000-year plan. A day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. And even before the time of Jesus, believers in the one true God anticipated that we would see this pattern, and that they anticipated that after 6,000 years, well, then they would have the day of the Lord. We would have the day being 1,000 years long, when Messiah would reign for 1,000 years. And so, but the problem is, we don't know exactly when Adam was created. Otherwise, we could just fast forward 6,000 years and say, okay, that's the time. And no one's setting any dates or years here. I'm certainly not. But what we do know is that we're in studying through the timelines and biblical history, that we know that we're close. We're coming up around that 6,000-year mark from Adam. And then also from Adam to Jesus was approximately 4,000 years. We'd anticipate another 2,000 years from the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ to when he would return, according to this paradigm. But then there's a lot of debate about, okay, which year exactly did Jesus die? And there's a lot of debate about that. Some people say 33 AD, others say 30, others say 28, others have suggested other years. So there's a lot of debate about that. Nobody knows for sure. And I talk about some of this in the book. So we don't know for sure, but we know it's coming up quickly if we're talking about a range from 28 to 33, or, you know, give or take a few years on either side. But you know, we know that we're kind of in that time frame, if this paradigm is correct, which so many have believed all throughout Christian history, that we're approaching that period of time. Meanwhile, you know, so if that paradigm is correct, we would expect so many of the signs in the book of Revelation and that Jesus himself warned about to be fulfilled. We would expect an increase in earthquakes and seismic activity, which we're seeing. We would expect pestilences and pandemics to break out. We've already talked about COVID, and more is coming. We would expect to see wars and rumors of wars, and we've seen some of that. And we're Iran and Israel could go to war at any moment. We're also anticipating, and this is something I really covered in my previous book, Lost Prophecies of the Future of America, we're anticipating eventually military conflict between the United States and China, the United States and Russia, which at one time we were great friends, supposedly, with China and Russia. Now relations with both have taken a huge turn for the worse. So that's something we're watching as well. So in all these realms that we're watching, we're seeing the pictures of the prophetic puzzle start to move into place. We're seeing an acceleration of the events, even in terms of, you know, the book of Revelation describes a time when food's going to become extremely expensive and we're going to see famines. And right now, because of the crazy global weather patterns, we're seeing the mega drought in the western half of the country devastating agricultural production, especially in California, where a third of our vegetables are grown and two-thirds of our fruits and nuts just in California alone. We're seeing in Brazil devastating drought and now extremely cold temperatures have come in, devastated the crops down there, the orange crop, the sugar crop, the coffee crop. So people are coffee drinkers out there. Your coffee is about to become a lot more expensive. And all over the world, we're seeing crop losses. We're seeing crazy weather patterns affect food production. At the same time, we're seeing governments around the world, in response to the COVID pandemic, they've been printing money like crazy, creating money like crazy, flooding their financial systems with new money, like the Federal Reserve here is in the United States, which has created this ridiculous stock market bubble. But what it's starting to do is cause very, very painful inflation. So we're starting to see food go up. We're starting to see housing prices go crazy. We're starting to see vehicle prices. In fact, at this point, some used vehicles are selling for more than they did when they were new, because prices are used vehicle prices have risen more than 40% in the past year. So we're starting to see this move toward hyperinflation. And then Biden now, he's like, I want trillions more spending. And Congress is just this past week, they're moving the infrastructure bill forward there. And that was more than $1 trillion. Then they took up a spending package that's more than $3 trillion of more spending. You know, they just continue to do it more and more and more, setting the stage for the kind of hyperinflation that we've been anticipating. And then with the crazy weather patterns all over the world, we're starting to see famine in places of Africa. We're starting to see food riots in parts of the world. In fact, the head of the UN World Food Agency, which is basically the top guy on the entire planet, who's in charge of feeding everyone, he a number of months ago used the term biblical, a famine of quote-unquote biblical proportions to describe what he believes is ahead of us.
Wow. So from at the beginning of this segment, we talked about how this is going to be a movement of people back to God. And for me, it's about taking your power back. All of the things that we described at the beginning of the show and in the middle about mandates and people being fired, they can't run these corporations without us. Healthcare already has not enough workers in it. So if doctors, if pilots, if nurses, if teachers would just withdraw their, it doesn't have to be for a long period of time, a day or two, this would come to a screeching halt immediately. They act like we're not necessary. And we are. If we need to believe that we matter, that our lives matter, that our bodies matter, and that we're not going to do this, because we did it their way once, not all of us, but some of us, and it didn't work. So where is the, is it going to be the movement back to God to say, God is in control of my life, not you, not man. I'm not going to listen to a pronouncement of man. How can something from man be better than God? How can you make my immune system better than it already is naturally? They've already proven that it doesn't work by this third shot that they're trying to mandate. And fourth shot, it's never going to stop. These goalposts just keep being moved back further and further. When is enough enough for people? It's never going to be enough for them. I realize that. They don't care. They'll double down on lies. They'll double down on half-truths. In your face, when you can see things aren't working, they'll tell you it is and you should like it. So at some point, we just have to stop doing this. And I actually see a change. I mean, France is standing up. Berlin is standing up. Even some of the Caribbean islands, people are out on the street saying, we're not going to do this. Here in the United States, is that the beginning of a pushback that you think is going to make a difference? And I know it's a long answer, so let's take our last break so that I don't cut you off in it and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Michael Snyder, and he's the author of Lost Prophecies of the Future of America, Living a Life That Really Matters, and his most recent book, 7-Year Apocalypse. Now, I gave a big synopsis of how I think we should make our move as humanity to pull ourselves away from this devastation that's coming. Is that the way that we should start moving back towards God?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately we're seeing this conflict between those that love liberty and freedom and those that want to impose tyranny and authoritarianism on us. So this is a big, not just in the United States, but a global overarching theme and really a conflict that we're seeing play out right in front of our eyes right now. And ultimately, and this is why the global elite hate Christianity so much, and they hate our faith so much, because ultimately, you know, where did liberty and freedom flourish? It was here in the United States, where throughout most of human history, there's been kings, there's been tyrants, but here we had this experiment in self-governments. We allowed liberty and freedom to flourish, and as a result, we created the greatest economic system and the most prosperity the world has ever seen, because we allowed people to enjoy liberty and freedom, and that just allowed innovation, you know, allowed us to have so much. And that was all ultimately based on a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, and that's our founding fathers. It was that was the foundation that they established the system on. But then the global elite hate that, because they hate liberty and freedom, and they hate the foundation, which is ultimately biblical Christianity. And so that, you know, that's one of the reasons why they hate our faith so much. And so we're seeing this conflict all over the world, and it's going to continue now. You know, and as you said, you know, we need to stand up. We need to say no, and we have numbers. But then on the other hand, you know, they have control of the money. They have ultimately not just that, what they have is not just governmental control, and where they dominate the governments all over the world, but then also they dominate the all the largest corporations all over the world. The global elite own and control the largest corporations, which today the corporations dominate our lives more than they ever have before. And some would argue that the corporations are even more powerful, especially in certain realms, than national governments are. So that's a huge element of their control. And we can't just vote out the corporations, because that, you know, that's not how it works. So people say, we can vote.
I disagree. I totally disagree with that. The corporations are only powerful because we use them. Don't go to Walmart. Don't go to Amazon. Don't use a credit card. Use cash. You can put them out of business pretty quickly, since they depend on us. And they've done a bang up job during the pandemic of removing competition, making them the only things that were you needed them. They were mandatory businesses, whatever you want to call it. They got rid of their competition big time. But there's nothing to say that we can't open up our own mom and pops, go and use the services of local businesses. Stop feeding this pig that's out there just completely. It would eat anything in its path, but it needs us. I still think that we have the ultimate. I don't care how many corporations, I know they're powerful. They're feeding the congressional and governmental troughs with loads of money from from local to federal level. But we vote them in. We use their services. They can't make us get sick, right? They can't make us take their medication. Stop doing it and bring them to heal. Well, they really have no respect for us at all.
I agree with you. And that's the perspective I take and me and my wife take. But unfortunately, you know, we're still a very small minority, and the vast majority of the population still uses their stores, buys from the big corporations, and then also watches the average American, watches just several hours of television per day, and the vast majority of the news and entertainment that people get, in fact, more than 90% of it that people get through the televisions, is owned and controlled by just five major corporations. And so, and if anyone allows that much, whether it's the movies, the television shows, the news, the entertainment, it's all controlled by these corporate giants, and a minority of us are saying no. And this is a huge theme I'm constantly talking about and preaching about and warning people about on my websites. But the vast majority of the population still willingly plugs into this matrix, of which I call it. And if you allow anyone to pump propaganda into your mind for several hours a day, every single day of the week, month, and year, well, that's ultimately going to add up to thousands and thousands of hours of propaganda, and that's going to radically shape how you view the world. And so that's why I'm constantly telling people to unplug from the matrix, wake up, think for yourselves, because we are literally in a battle between good and evil, liberty and those who want tyranny. And ultimately, you know, as I described in the book, this battle and ultimately the battle between good and evil, which has been going on for thousands of years, is reaching a crescendo, a great crescendo. And we get to be here for it. We get to be here at the most, to me, the most exciting time in all of human history. Yeah, things are going to get really crazy, but to me, this is the most exciting time. There's no other time in human history that I would rather be than right here, right now, because this is the big grand finale. This is the great crescendo, and ultimately the forces of good are going to win. So it's a very positive message. And ultimately, this book that I've written, 7-Year Apocalypse, I mean, that's an ominous title, but it's a book of hope. I describe in it this, I want this to be a book of great hope and to give people great encouragement. So, you know, I just want people to realize, yeah, you're going to read some of the things in the book, and when you realize, hey, this is real, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the book that's very, very frightening, very chilling, but also so many people I've already heard from people say, I was so encouraged by the book. It gave me so much hope. It helped me understand what's coming and helped me understand the bigger picture. And that's what I want people to get out of it. It's going to give you hope. It's going to give you, when looking into the future, it's going to give you a reason to be excited about who you are, about where you're headed, about what's coming, and about the bigger picture. So I hope people get it. It's entitled 7-Year Apocalypse. It's available for the Kindle and in paperback on Amazon.com. And it will be soon available on other outlets online as well. And people say, oh, Amazon. Well, what I'm doing is I'm using the infrastructure of the corporate elite against them to get the truth out, for as long as we're able to do that. But ultimately, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the truth out, trying to win these battles, and ultimately to turn as many people back to God as possible.
Well, I think we're seeing changes, right? The Olympic, for example, the Olympics, it was half of the viewership it normally is. These corporate professional teams are not, people aren't watching them anymore. Nobody's going to these movies, and they're having to put them on streaming platforms. People are making their choices and then withdrawing their consent. And now there's a movement towards Cash Fridays. So people are enjoined to use cash on Fridays and starve the credit card companies for money. So it doesn't have to be all of us that make a change. It just needs to be a concerted effort, consistent, and quite frankly, call out the people who are in the process of working against us. I didn't know this until recently, but the government was paying farmers to destroy their crops. Like, they would make more money by destroying them than actually having them come to market. So this is just as much a natural thing as a manufactured thing as it's a natural thing. And people need to be aware of that, that your government is not, I don't care what government it is. It wants to stay in power at all costs. You are the grist for the mill. They don't care about you. This is just another means of control. And if they think that you've got no other option and they can rig the system so they'll get in every time you pull the lever, that's what they're trying to do now. And it doesn't matter if you're left or right or liberal, conservative. This is about freedom. We should all want that. And I think that there's going to be a break, I hope, in that mindset of left-right paradigm, liberal conservative paradigm. It really doesn't matter. It's those that love God and those that don't. I think that's, to me, the easiest division that we can make, because people who love God, love freedom, love liberty, want to help each other, want to help their neighbor, want to live a life where everybody has abundance, not someone's putting their foot on somebody else's neck and lording over them. People are done with that, I think.
Oh, I agree. And that's why I've been very disappointed with a lot of the liberal members of Congress, because it should be a very liberal thing to say, no, you're not going to tell me what I have to put in my own body. But because health freedom and the ability to choose what goes into my body and what doesn't go into my body, it should be very, very foundational. And that you would think that liberal politicians would say, yeah, you know, that's That's what I'm for. I'm for the ability to choose what goes into my body and what doesn't go into my body. And but, you know, looking at the members of Congress, looking at our politicians on the national level, so incredibly few have stood up and said, we're not going to go along with this. We're not going to comply. I mean, we saw Senator Rand Paul come out just a few days ago and make a very strong stand. And I very much respect him for that. And he, you know, he was the only member of Congress to actually endorse me when I ran for Congress a few years ago, because I ran for Congress because I could see where things were headed even back then before the pandemic. And I knew that we needed to do something. So I ran for Congress, and health freedom was one of my big, huge issues, you know, where I was like, I'm against the vaccine industry. I'm I was very concerned. So he endorsed me back then, but he's basically one of the only members of Congress to stand up and say, no, we're not going to comply. We've got to fight against this tyranny. But otherwise, on the left or the right, we've seen almost complete silence. And so that greatly disturbs me to no end. And that basically tells me another sign that we need to almost completely clean house on both sides mm-hmm. of the aisle, that pretty much virtually everyone on the national level needs to go. Because if you can't stand up against this tremendous tyranny, what we're seeing the Biden administration do now with these mandates and everything else, if you aren't going to even be willing to stand up for that, there's no way that you deserve to be serving in the federal government, in Congress, on a national level. So what we're seeing on a national level deeply, deeply concerns me.
I think we have three words that we just need to mantra, that we need to follow, and that's follow the money, because everybody up there has a conflict of interest, are making money off of the backs and misery of the population, of humanity, and they need to go. I absolutely agree with you. We have 30 seconds left, so I want to make sure that people know how to get your book, how to go to your websites.
Yeah, you can visit it. You can find my work at themostimportantnews.com, and the new book, 7-Year Apocalypse, it's on Amazon.com. The reviews and response so far has been absolutely overwhelming, but it's available for the Kindle on Amazon. It's also available in paperback at Amazon.com. Get copies, give them to your friends. For most of the past month, it's been the number one new release in Christian eschatology on Amazon, so get it while it's hot.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Snyder. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I do feel hopeful. God is in control. We know how this ends, but we all have a choice to make, and that's to make the right choice for ourselves, humanity, and our family. So thank you so much for coming on. You're a blessing.
Oh, thank you for having me. I definitely appreciate it.
And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.